the Olympic Games on Off the Ball.
I was confident she was going to get a medal. She's a McSherry. Mona McSherry.
I'm writing myself into the history books.
All the medal-winning reaction on Off the Ball. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy.
Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
Welcome along. All good things come to an end. It is the last episode of this series, or is it? It kind of is. It's definitely the last regular episode that we're going to be doing. James Skell looks as worried as probably the listeners are at the moment when I say that, but all to be revealed a little bit later about this not being the last part of the series, but it's definitely the last of the regular run. We are a little bit late doing this because we got delayed for about 15 different reasons. We were going to do our team of the year last week. We were going to do our awards of the season, and we had to push back into this week. And then we're going to do the bank holiday Monday because we've been in Capitagal on the Sunday. And then we had to push back by another couple of days. So we're finally here. James Skell, how are you?
I'm very well, guys. How's things?
Yeah, I'm as well as I can be when I wake up at 5 a.m, Skell, to be deadly honest with you. Paul Murphy.
Well, a man there's only one man to blame for that now.
Hey, now. Give a clear run the day after this now. Don't be giving out to me.
We have a long run today, so we have...
Actually, Will's coverage of the Olympics now, I don't feel we're leaning hard enough into this now. You're working overtime at the moment, Will, really.
I really am. Yeah, I got home late enough, watched the Kelly Harrington fight, which was Tuesday night, just in case we date this when someone gets it on the Wednesday. Went to bed for a few hours. I fell asleep around 11:30, 1 o'clock. Alarm went off at 5, and I went, only for these two gentlemen would I be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready for a podcast.
But listen, you get to watch the Olympics all day.
I do, yeah. It's not that much fun though, Skell. Like, it's not. Some people seem to think this, and I know definitely a couple of people said this in Capitagal at the weekend as well, where they go, you know what, you get to talk about sports, that's not working at all.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it to you, but I'm saying to you now.
You certainly are. You've been looking to say it for a while. This is the Hurling Pod, by the way, brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy. They're the proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship. Some of the plan of this pod is to take a look back. We also threw the net out and we asked for a few questions, and some good ones came in overnight as well. So we'll work through as many of those as we can between the main pod and the members pod for this week as well. Want to get into it though, lads, because I gave you that bit of homework, which was to pick out a few different pieces from the year, but also to pick your all-star team, which is what people really wanted last week on the back of Clare's win against Cork in that All-Ireland final. So, who is your all-star goalkeeper, James Skell, for this season?
Do you really have to ask?
I was going to say, this is nearly, he's just going to say his name anyway.
Is this one we just skip over and just move on to number two? It's the man from Limerick, Nicky Quaid.
Okay, so why is Quaid in this season then?
I think he was in, for me, throughout the course of the year, he was in Hurler of the Year form, which for a goalkeeper is probably not good. it's not a good reflection on the team as a whole. And I've said on kind of numerous occasions that he was called upon what felt like far more than when he was in years previous. And I just thought that the Limerick defence was a slight bit more porous this year than they have been through their dominant run. And when a team is porous, like, you need your goalkeeper to be saving you at times, and he saved Limerick on a good few occasions. That's going right back even into league campaign, and then on to the championship in the sense that from day one versus you know, Clare up and Innes, and he carried that form right through. Still as critical as ever with regard to his puck out strategy and where he places the ball, but I just think the way he was called upon more in terms of his shot stopping this year has kind of separated him above the rest. So Nicky Quaid for me.
Is there any particular reason, Skell, that Limerick conceded as many chances as they did? Because we were talking to Ollie Baker at the weekend, and he was making the point that, you know, Cork, I think, had made 18 or 19 chances from play, which they took for scores, especially in that semi-final, where generally, you know, teams don't tend to get in behind them as much as happened that day. So what's the reason that the Nicky Quaid was that bit busier this year?
I think there's a couple of things. I think the first is a good question. There's a couple of things. Obviously, there's been absentees in the Limerick backline throughout different periods of the year. So it was very difficult for them to get a settled six or even a settled eight, if you like, including the midfield partnership. So it was a little bit disjointed. I don't say a lot, but just a little bit disjointed. Second thing is teams have been kind of attacking them at far more pace and directly in what they have been previously. So if you consider what teams were trying before, there was like this assumption that if you lump the ball down top of Limerick and the half-back line, you're going to get eight alive out of it. And the team started to try to play around Limerick with an extra man, you know, two lads inside in the full forward line, et cetera, et cetera. And this year, I just felt like the teams were just going after Limerick more direct. They were sending the ball indirect. They were hitting with pace. There was more runners coming from midfield, et cetera, creating overlaps. And then chances kind of created from there. And I think a lot of chances, two probably came from and then to switch off from Limerick. Even sticks in my mind is the game against Tipperary and Páirc Uí, where it was kind of the start of the goal. I think they conceded 3 or 4 goals that night against Tip. And I was saying at the time, that's probably just league mindset, league form, that this will get fixed. And ultimately did get fixed. You know, they got a check from all sides. And if you go back to when they got knocked out, they're just that bit porous. They weren't as dominant. That's just being fair. They weren't as dominant as they were previous in teams at opportunities. And even when they had the opportunities, in fairness to Nicky, they didn't take them. So he was doing his job, unfortunately for Limerick.
Murphy, you going to try and make an argument here for Owen Murphy, or are you going Nicky Quaid as well?
No, Nicky Quaid as well, yeah. I actually think it was particularly in the semi-finals. It's been a really good year, I think, for goalkeepers in terms of the general standard across the board. But Nicky Quaid... Yeah, look, I think really Nicky Quaid's influence on the game as a whole, really from the start of the year, and that's sometimes something I think that All-Star teams are poor at doing sometimes, is recognising the start of the year. I mean, you're not going to just pick out players that were knocked out before the quarterfinal and shoehorn them into an All-Star team or anything, but nevertheless, form before the semi-final, quarterfinal has to be considered as well. And Nicky Quaid just consistently has been such a big influence on the games for Limerick. But also then, you know, we talk about his puck outs probably first and foremost, but I mean, his shot stopping is still outstanding, you know. So yeah, I just think he was a rock there. And as for all the points Skehla says there, he was definitely used a lot more for the shot stopping this year, which was an indication of, you know, Limerick being that bit more porous, but he was still outstanding. So yeah, Nicky Quaid.
Okay, so you're unanimous on that one. Any other contenders? Was Patrick Collins the next closest then, Murph, or who would have been your next best?
I think, to be fair, Patrick Collins, yeah. Like, again, I think, you know, I think there's a very fine margin. For me, anyway, I think Skell maybe would have more of an opinion on it, but between the other three then, Owen Murphy, himself and Eva Quilligan, I think there was fine margins between them. They all had really good semi-finals. But again, if you're to look at the same criteria that Nicky Quaid was picked under, probably Patrick Collins as well, particularly you go back to, like, his puck outs have been a real launching pad for Cork this year, and particularly those longer puck outs. Like, I mean, every keeper has a long puck out at the moment, but his ones that were landing straight down on the 21, I mean, it wasn't just aimless striking of a ball, it was part of a plan. And then you think of even a few different things in the semi-final against Limerick, how, you know, a ball would go in and go wide or go over the bar, and never mind pucking out the ball quickly, he had a play in mind and he knew what players he was going to hit. So yeah, I just think for that, Patrick Collins was probably second place then, yeah. But again, the keeping expert here might have a different opinion.
Well, Murph, we're off to a great start. We're 2 for 2. I have no debate in that instance either. I think sometimes we can be very critical of... I'm glad to hear you that the keeper's standard across the whole has been recognised, because sometimes we can be ultra-critical of goalies when they make, you know, one error. And because don't get me wrong, the standard is making no error, but we said it here for years that if you make an error out the field, it's never seen, et cetera, et cetera. So if a goalkeeper makes an error, you know, it's under the microscope heavily. So I'm glad to hear that there's, you know, there's acceptance across the wider public that all four goalies are at a great level, which they are, in fairness. And I've no disagreement either in terms of Patrick Collins being probably number two. He seemed to get better as the year went on. And then he was ultra critical, man of the match, if you ask me, in the semi-final versus Limerick. So I don't believe Cork are in the final without him. So yeah, I'm with Patrick Collins, but I do say that I'm in Eva Quilligan's corner too. I know he's come under a bit of pressure over the last, not even this year, over the last, geez, I'd say 3 years, before even, you know, and even just imagine this talk now from people in Clare that he'll get replaced by the current 20 goalie pretty soon, which is hard to comprehend, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially if you're in the Ireland. So, but look, shout out to Eva Quilligan, did well, team in Ireland, hard to argue that.
Okay, we'll alternate. So, Murph, who would you pick at fullback then? I think the Sunday game team of the year had a downy spine down 3 and 6. So, what way are you going for your fullback?
Yeah, I went for Owen Downey as well. It was a marginal one, but you know, Cleary was really good at fullback as well for Clare. But Downey again, that semi final again, he was enormous in it. And like that fullback position is it's a tough position just to have someone steady in it, and never mind somebody who's really hurling out her skin. I thought he was really sharp. Like, even something that fullbacks can sometimes get caught on as well is maybe just switching off. You know, there's so many balls going in over the bar going wide that you just switch off, but he never switched off at any stage. And the reason I say that is I'm including a ball that came off the post. Jeez, I'm trying to think, was it even the semi-final or the final?
Final, yeah.
Came off the post. I think it was Peter Duggan was on his shoulder, and he was the first lad to react, got it, first touch, and he was gone. Like, just, they're small things, but they're huge things. Like, that was a goal with a fullback at turn off, you know. So for me, in fairness to Owen Downey, I think he sealed it for the final as well. So yeah, Owen Downey, fullback for me.
Okay. Skell, who are you picking?
Yes, I mean, the same court, Will. I think, to be fair, I think sometimes in years previous, their players have really stood out that it's easy to pick. Fullback was a bit trickier for me this year. I just thought Owen Downey was a bit better than most.
You couldn't be wrong by saying Cleary either. It'd be hard to argue against it, but it's a fine margin. But to be fair,
extremely. You know, and there's like, of the 15 positions, like I have eight, like toss to Kiner. Yeah. You know, which is tricky business, which is good. I think it's a good sign of an all-star team. It means we had it looks to me like we had a fairly competitive, balanced championship. You know, so I put back to the fullback position, Owen Downey for me is the same way. I think he's only 21, if I'm not mistaken. So for him to be playing that way in a like, as you said, Will, in a spine position in front of your keeper, that's I have to give credit for that. And like his performance in the final was admirable. I thought he was really, really solid right behind his brother. So I've no issues with saying Owen Downey. I don't think the wider public would either.
Okay. Is Cleary next best for you, Skell, same as Murph, or did you have another option floating for three?
I don't have another option. I think there's a lot across the board. I know people come at me. I know, like, even Hugh Lawler didn't do anything wrong for me. Do you know what I mean? I know they didn't make it out and they didn't get to the final, etc. But I think he's a Rolls-Royce fullback. Never got burned as far as I can see. Cleary was very solid. I just can't look past the fouling. I just can't. Sorry. Yeah. I want a fullback to hurl as well. I can't look past the fouling. I don't know. What do you think, Murph?
About what? About his fouling or about who?
No, I see, Owen Downey, right? So, again, if I'm giving characteristics of a fullback, let's say, I'm looking at him ultra solid. You know, he's able to hurl the ball high, hurl it low, defend. Do you know what I mean? He can tackle all within the rules of the game, if you like. You know what I mean? Whereas Conor Cleary, I'm not doubting his capability, don't get me wrong. It's just that I just think there's an awful lot of holding on his behalf in the fullback position, which constitutes the other card every day. So it's hard for me to give him the All-Star with that in mind.
Yeah, like when I think of the two of them, first of all, like I just see Owen Downey as a bit more of a player that's going to drive out from the full back line with the ball, in terms of he's more likely to carry the ball up the field a small bit more, where Cleary is a bit more of your atypical full back who kind of sits that small bit more and holds the fort. Like, you know, after Cleary got the yellow card in the final, he actually came thundering into the game, which was usually something that doesn't happen with a full back. You kind of nearly are being cautious after you get a yellow card, but he was clearly really came into the game after that. I think he had a really solid year, to be honest, you know. But, you know, in terms of tipping the scales, I just think Owen Downey had a small bit more to his game this year and was probably tested in a few ways and proved himself, came out with those tests, you know, with a good scorecard out of it. So yeah, just for me, it's, again, as a lot of these positions will be, it'll all be marginal things. It'll be a few things that tip it in favour of someone else. And for me, Owen Downey just came out that small bit better this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll move on, Murph, to the cornerbacks. I have a sneaky feeling you're going to pick two clear cornerbacks here. So give me your two cornerbacks.
Yeah, two clear cornerbacks, Adam Hogan and Conor Lean. I have.
Same.
I've seen other teams now. I know there's a lot of All-Star teams that have been put out from different people. But for me, those two cornerbacks, whatever about the fullback position, those two cornerbacks were, not to say the only two lads you could pick, but they were the two forerunners. Like, I mean, we've said already, there's a lot of positions here that are nearly a coin toss. And particularly when you get further out field, you know, people will have opinions about who should play where or what you can do with an All-Star team. But for me, those two lads, they were just solid out. They were solid. They were really good. You know, Adam Hogan obviously had an exceptional year. Conor Lean, I think, really came to everyone's attention after that semi-final. Like, people knew about him there, but he really had an influence and really, I suppose, shored up his position there. But yeah, look, for me, those two lads were the two forerunners by a long shot for the cornerback positions.
Yeah, I think these are two absolutely nailed on All-Stars. Is there anyone else in the picture for the cornerback positions for you, Scott?
Well, when you mentioned the picture, I was saying Denny would come close to their performances, and that there wasn't, to be fair. You know, I think Adam Hogan, from my perspective, he'd one little blip, you could say, in the Munster final with Shane O'Brien. After that, like, he was red hot all year, going back to the league final when he was marking the likes of Cody and whatnot. So he was exception and carried his form into the final and played well in the final, which is great to see. Conor Lean, for me, came from nowhere and produced the goods day in, day out. Didn't look like you know, a maverick at cornerback, but he was ultra solid. It was never clean as far as I can see, and was well able to come out with the ball and start to check. Was able to hurl the ball. So I'm quite content to say that not many people came close to them. So they're standouts. And like you said yourself, 2 and 4 to me are two of the most obvious All-Stars, I think, in this year's team.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, centre half-back scale, who are you having?
I went with Dudley Downey. So I went with Rob at centre-back. I think probably for the last number of years, we were saying that Cork had no six, and they were probably struggling to find a six, and probably three. This goes back to the last time they played Limerick in the Ireland final in, what, 2021, I think it was.
One, yep.
And, you know, they're, in fairness, they were well open that day, and they seemed to be, you know, tinkering with players to and from the positions, and they tried Rob Downey at fullback. I didn't like Rob Downey at fullback, to be fair. I love his brother at fullback, but I love Rob Downey at centre-back. We all thought that Kieran Joyce would be the nominal six day in, day out, but Rob Downey was put in there, probably surprisingly, and Joyce to midfield or wing back, and he's excelled, to be fair. Since the first day he went in, he's excelled, and he's taken on different challenges, whether that be, you know, high ball, as we've seen. He's imperious in the half back line with the high ball going forward, as we've seen in the Ireland final, what he can do when he's given the ball or given the opportunity. Defending wise, no problem whatsoever. Like, rook ball, you know, he's aggressive. So he's, again, as Murphy used the word there, atypical. He's a good six. He's able to drop off. He's able to tackle. He's able to push up. You know, so he has all the attributes of being a good six. And I can't see him being moved, you know, out of that position for Cork for many years to come. So when you consider that they have the brother at fullback at 21, Rob, I'm not sure what age is, but he's not old, that's for sure. You know, at centre back, there's a great pillar there for Cork to build upon. So yeah, he's my six. And you're going to ask me, is there any other challengers? And again, the same principle I've used for Adam Hogan and Conor Lean. I don't think there's anyone that's, I won't say remotely close, but I think Rob Downey was 10 out of 10, if you ask me, and then everybody else was like a 7. You know, barring an exceptional game here or there, so I can't argue with that.
Was John Conlon the closest in the end scale with the way he finished the season?
You see, he's final. So what happens on these All-Star teams at times, and Murphy might agree or disagree, is
yeah, I know where you're going with it, Jay. Yeah.
That the final might transport them into a realm, right, yeah, that they haven't been in all year. And that's credit where credit is due, you know what I mean? But I think he was exceptional in the final, but I don't think he was exceptional, you know, throughout the year. Like, he was solid in the semi-final versus Kilkenny, had assistance with a +1 at the back. He had to go toe-to-toe in the final. He was outstanding. But throughout the Munster Championship, I didn't think he was in all-star form, truthfully. So, but in terms of your question, was he the closest? He probably was, yeah. Because going through all the counties, I couldn't pick, you know, I couldn't. Certainly wasn't Limerick Declan Hannon, with respect. It wasn't Waterford. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Tipperary. It wasn't Galway. It wasn't Wexford. You know, there was a shout now. I did come with a shout for Rec, because I thought Rec was solid throughout the year. It wasn't Kinney. So I'm like, as you go down to the counties, you're going, no one didn't get you to Rob Downey's level this year. So that's why I've landed at that choice.
Okay. Are you going to oppose him, Murph?
No, Rob Downey as well.
This could be a quick podcast.
I just have a feeling from midfield up. I said that it's the forwards that always cause the problem here. But well, maybe not midfield, but forwards anyway. So we'll enjoy the honeymoon period while it's happening here.
Fair enough. Was there anyone else in consideration for you, Murph, for six, or was that just Downey all the way?
Yeah, Conlon was in consideration, but I just think consistently, again, his consistency was really outstanding there at centre-back. And I know it's not about looking at a player's performance here by saying, you know, their age or anything. And I nearly hate bringing John Conlon's age into it, but often people can maybe look at that and say, you know, it's outstanding what he's doing at the moment and how long he's playing and so on. But like, you're just looking at it from point of view of what type of a year an individual player had in a certain position or line, and let's say maybe he could move them within the line. But for me, Rob Downey, like, particularly, you know, his goal in the final as well, it was probably overshadowed by everything else that happened, you know, for the next 50-60 minutes afterwards. But he was, you know, yeah, he's just outstanding. His athleticism is brilliant, and his hurling's outstanding as well. So yeah, for me, I didn't have a, there was a few lads close to him, but no one really making me lose sleep or anything.
Okay. So Murph, who are your two wing backs then?
I had David Blanchfield and David McInerney. Two.
For straight away, no Kyle Hayes.
No. Again, I did see Kyle Hayes in quite a few teams, but I suppose where, Scal, you touched on about looking at someone for the whole year, like, I know, like, David Blanchfield there, I just thought he was savagely consistent and he had a really good semi-final. And McInerney as well, I actually saw him omitted from one or two teams. Saw a few places where, and I can't see how you'd omit David McInerney. And I've also seen McInerney moved across to right half back and Kyle Hayes put in there. Kyle Hayes had a really good year, but I'm not judging him off his own standards or the heights he's hit previously. I thought he had, you know, a really good year. But in terms of out-and-out defending, I thought Blanchfield had a better year than Kyle Hayes in terms of defending. Going forward, maybe Kyle Hayes posed a bit more of a threat. But, you know, at the semi-final, Blanchfield got one or two points as well. Kind of a similar role that... similar role that other halfbacks would have instead of going too far forward. Like, Dermot Ryan was quite similar in terms of David Blanchfield in that Dermot Ryan, again, had a really good year. Maybe the shot was, or his shooting boots were off a small bit there, particularly towards the final as well. He's a really good forward or halfback going forward. But for me, Kyle Hayes just didn't hit the heights of the other lads. Like, I thought McInerney from the quarterfinal on was absolutely outstanding. His man marking particularly was just exceptional. And I don't think you could put a defender in that you might feel is more of a threat going forward. Like, at the end of the day, the first thing they should be doing is defending. McInerney, there for me, it's between himself and Adam Hogan, who was the best man marker this year, between himself and David McInerney. And then Blanchfield, I just would really... See, the thing with Blanchfield is that he can be quite, from a television point of view, can be quite anonymous. He gets through a huge amount of work, gets on a lot of ball, drives forward. Great point in the semi-final with Mark and Peter Duggan. Great catch up the line, great score. And I just thought, from a consistency throughout the year point of view, I just thought he was extremely solid. But again, I will say with David Blanchfield, that's kind of one, I suppose, that other lads come in and it can be a flick of a coin there, because Dermot Ryan, for me as well, was really good. And I would say Blanchfield and Ryan and then Kyle Hayes, that was the one for me. But McInerney was nailed on straight away.
Okay. Scale, who are your picks?
Firstly, I've no debate on David McInerney. He was just brilliant. He was super, and he was kind of like... You know, they have a term in NFL, Murph. You like my NFL reference here for the cornerbacks. When you don't go near them, it's like they're on their own little island. You know what I mean? So you stay away from them. Whereas in terms of McInerney, then the ball down top of him, he's, like I said, imperious in the high ball, brilliant under high ball. So it's kind of like nearly an area of avoidance for opposition because he's so dominant. He was so dominant, in fairness to him. He's a shoe-in as well, nailed on. No issue with that whatsoever. We've already named round 86. I have gone for Kyle Hayes at 7. Again, when you talk about the margins, Murph, we're not talking about 20% separation here. We're talking about literally, it's micro, it's 1%. And it can be just a little difference of opinion or a certain you know, instance in a game or whatever. And I just think that he, like when you're an opposition forward line planning for Kyle Hayes, that kind of says a lot. And it looked to me like the Cork specifically planned for him to take his influence out of the game going forward. Which I'd be happy about myself here as well. The primary objective of a defender is to defend. But if you have a guy who can defend and get forward and is equally as impressive in both directions, that says a lot. And I just think his year, yes, the semi-final didn't hit the height he would have hit in years previous, which I think he's probably a victim of his own success or his own ability. You know, that we judge him to such a level because he's produced such a level. But I still think he was extremely solid and influential, you know, dangerous, etc. The only blip I had from really was the penalty against Cork in the group game in the round robin. That's the only blip I had from theoretically. You know? Otherwise, I thought he was exceptional. So again, this is our first split here, Murph. So we're going so far. We've only won out of 7. Normally, we'd be 7-7 here or 6-7.
Yeah. There's no haymakers in the middle of it anyway, at least. There's no
They're coming now. So.
Okay, right.
I've won haymakers. No one has, definitely. Anyway.
Right.
Because you see, here we go, Skell. I would imagine, first of all, Darragh Fitzgibbon is completely nailed on here.
Yeah, and he's a hurdle deer contender as well.
Okay. Still. So is your haymaker beside him?
No, he's not. No. Okay. No.
Well, there's something coming beside him. So. See,
I promise it's not going to be in, okay?
Right. you've sucked me in with a bit of intrigue here. So Skell, who's your other midfielder?
It's
right?
Probably Davy Fitz then.
It is David Fitz. In
no, you can't play him in midfield. You just
yes,
can't.
I can. Yes,
I don't
know
if I can. I can't allow this.
Actually, hang on, Will, now for a second. You can't allow. Why can't you allow it?
Because he didn't play in midfield.
David Fitz played midfield, did he not?
Nah, he
throughout the course of the year, he played portions of midfield. Yes,
he plays left wing forward though.
Predominantly, yes, predominantly. But there was portions he played midfield.
The only noticeable time where I noticed that his general position was completely off was when he started the final, that he was very noticeably at left half forward. But whether I just thought for the whole year he was midfield pretty much, like, you know, I mean.
So I appreciate the fact that teams don't, and we're picking a team here in 3-3-2, 3-3. You know, like that's the way we're picking the team traditionally. And I realise the players move around and whatever else. But for me, Fitzgerald's not a midfielder. But go on, I'll leave it to the listeners to. I just want to put that in the record before we go any further.
Well, in the fantasy league, he's down as a midfielder.
That's the big part of it. Yeah, but there's also there is a few
anomalies there now.
There is anomalies, yeah.
And everyone takes advantage of it as well. There's oftentimes forwards who are down as backs and so on, and then they get picked.
We don't make the rules; we just bend them.
Yeah. Colin O'Neill was down as a back as well. Was he? Oh no, sorry, he's down as a forward actually. Oh no. Back. Sorry, he's down in the back because he was an ultimate points
extra
gainer.
Value. Yeah, but
I just think for me, Dave Fitzgerald was out and out midfield this year.
Are you having Fitzgerald as well?
Yeah, the 2D Fitz is midfield. Yeah.
Yeah. See, we need that to open up space for our forward.
He's down midfield. That's why.
Not at all. I actually would have been the other direction. Like I was looking at Keane Kenny had a really good year and I'd put him into midfield because that's where he played. But I was like, no, these two lads were midfield and I'll leave them in midfield and that's where I'm leaving them. So I've actually been a little bit harder on myself. But anyway, I think, again, I thought it's the first conversation we're having about all-star teams. Like, you'll see things happening with them and maybe it'll happen this year, maybe it won't, where you could have, you know, six centre forwards as your six forwards. And it's like, hang on for a second here. You can't have your six centre forwards. And that's been an extreme case. But you know what I mean? Where they, again, it's that thing of, who was it years ago that played one of the, was it Kavanaghs from Tyrone at fullback and he was midfield for the whole year. But because he was sitting so hard, they played him, he got the all-star fullback. Not Sean Kavanagh, what's the brother's name? Whatever, anyway.
Rory. Who's Rory Kavanagh?
Oh, I can't think of his name now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're throwing ourselves up. We'll pass that to the football pod. But yeah, so that was the only thing. So I was trying to stick to the two lads that I associated with being midfield. Yeah.
Colin, yeah.
Anyway, Dara Fitz and Davy Fitz.
Okay. Rather than my positional concerns here, Dara Fitzgibbon, and we will talk about player of the year in a moment, Skell, but like he was excellent all season, wasn't he?
Yes, reached new height, and he was really, he harnessed his own ability, used his fitness and his speed to get forward for Cork, was utilised kind of like a seven forward at times. Great outball for the goalkeeper too on puck out setups, in the sense that as soon as the ball went dead, he was gone to his, he was heading for green grass, which gave Patrick Collins options, you know, easy options at times, which is critical in games. Led from the front, I have to say, I had no issues with him. Sometimes I can be critical of people where they have huge ability in positions of influence and they don't use it, or they're kind of anonymous going through games because they're not, you know, getting after it, if you like. But for Dara Fitz this year, I thought he really went after it from day dot. And just had a quite enough final, to be fair to him, but across the whole year, which is what I'm basing on, across the whole year, I thought he was superb. And he's rightly in Hurler of the Year nomination for me, in my opinion. So I think that's that, again, as we noted about shoe-ins here for all-star positions, he's a shoe-in also, but in my opinion, he's also a shoe-in for a nominee for Hurler of the Year.
Yeah, I think that says an awful lot about Malone's performance in the final, that Fitzgibbon didn't hit the heights that we saw in the semi-final or maybe a little bit earlier in the year. Dave Fitzgerald, we had picked as our player of the league, or certainly the most impressive player of the league, Murph, that we had seen. It's kind of strange. We talked about him in the final, whereby he misses quite a few chances and maybe left 1-6, 1-7 on the field.
1-8.
The argument would be, though, that he was on so much ball and he was so influential that actually that probably tells you a lot about his display as well.
Yeah, it does. And look, you could look at those opportunities to say either he missed them or he created them. You kind of have to nearly take each opportunity as it comes to say, well, what was the situation he was in? But the one thing you have to say about David Fitzgerald throughout the whole year was just that the sheer amount he created was enormous. Coming into the final, he was Clare's top scorer from play. I think he remained that way once the final was over. And that, be it whether he's hurling wing forward or he's hurling in midfield, is a huge marker there, really. His ability to cover ground is huge. You can't really stop him once he gets going as well. Like, he's just such a big player, and he's just he's such a powerful running style as well. And he very rarely is anonymous in the game. Very rarely doesn't have some sort of an influence in the game where he's just not there. Like, even if, let's say, he wasn't scoring, he's still involved, he's still getting on ball, he's still setting things up, he's still a threat. So I wouldn't be, let's say if Clare had lost the final, you could turn around and he would probably be disappointed that he missed a good few opportunities. But in the greater scheme of things, when you're looking at it as a whole for the year, you're looking to say, well, he created a huge amount of opportunities. Granted, in the final, didn't take as many, but that, I don't think that's a big black mark against him. I just think he had an outstanding year. After the league, I actually thought his form, not to say the form dipped a bit, but his influence on the game dipped a bit in a few games and kind of rose back up. But he was in such good form coming out of the league. It was probably going to be very hard to maintain that, considering once the league kicked off, he was in flying form. To maintain that the whole way through to an All-Ireland final is really outstanding if you could do that. So a small bit of a drop-off is absolutely forgivable in the start of round robin. But he was, outstanding year.
Okay, we can ask him his real position when we meet him in a few weeks. There's a bit of a spoiler about what's coming up. James Skell, let's go to the half forwards then, because this is going to get tasty. Right. Left wing forward, who has David Fitzgerald been moved to accommodate here?
Right, listen to me. I've moved a couple people, right? And I know this might be a popular pick.
I'm how he's apologising so much. I feel good about my own forward.
I'll back it up now fairly quickly, right?
Yeah.
I'm putting Peter Duggan in, right? Because I'll tell you why. That wasn't the reaction I thought you'd be honest.
You're on the defensive there big time. I'm putting Peter Duggan in. That's grand.
No, I thought that wasn't the reaction. And I'm speaking this from two fronts. One, from a goalkeeper perspective, right? And two, just from a general kind of, if I was looking at it from a coach perspective. So Duggan sometimes, he doesn't get the same plaudits as the likes of O'Donnell or Rodgers or David Fitzgerald, etc. He probably doesn't produce the same kind of highlight moments that you'd see from those guys day in, day out. But what he is, he's an absolute nucleus that clear half forward line. If there's a tough puck out to be won, he's the man that's delivered to. If there's tackles to be made in the half forward line, he's the man that delivers them. If there's hard ball to be carried, he's the man that does it. So he does an awful lot of the work that I would probably use the word facilitates others. So we touched on David Fitz there, right? And this is no slight on him whatsoever. The Clare boys always find him. You know what I mean? He's never wanted to be tackling too heavily. He's never wanted to be challenging the puck out too heavily. That job was given to Duggan. And then Fitzgerald is allowed to use his strengths, which we know is running and shooting. Duggan's strength is just literally hitting everything around him. Do you know what I mean? That Joe Rabbit type wing forward, you might remember back in the day, whereby you just lump it down top him, he'll secure it, and we go from there. And I just think his influence was huge. And this is going back even to the Munster final when they played really poorly. He was still the man that was taking the challenge to Limerick. I have to say, he's not a Rolls-Royce hurler, but he's one of those guys that are essential to your team. So Duggan for me is at 10.
Okay. Murph, who are you having there?
Left half forward or 10? 10 or 12? You said left, Will.
I did. Then Scale gives me a 10. Go on.
Well, I went in numerical order. Sorry. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. How's about who are you having a 10 first, and then we can work our way across?
I had a flip of the coin here between two fellas. Duggan was one, and I had John Donnelly as the other one. Again, I went for the workhorse there, Skell, to be honest. At the other side, a lad who was fairly prominent in the scoring. At that side, I went with Donnelly on that side because I just went. He was.
Don't worry, it's coming.
It's coming.
I have no argument with Donnelly whatsoever.
No, what I was going to say, that's good to hear. But no, with Donnelly, again, between himself and Duggan, like, you could go for a kind of a flary forward there, wing forward, whatever it is. Duggan, great man under ball, huge workhorse, and Donnelly quite similar as well. Like, is getting that primary possession, which creates the platform for the forwards. It sometimes goes very unnoticed, particularly when you're picking an all-star team. Like, if you had a year where lads are shooting the lights out, these boys, the Bonner Mars and these lads, sometimes get overlooked. But I just thought the two of them got through a huge amount of work. And I think Donnelly's, again, his performance throughout the year was just very consistent. And when he played against Dublin in a round robin game, he got 7 points from play. He had, I think it was about 6 or 7 turnovers. It was a huge amount. But it was probably the first time that people actually recognised what he normally does, because that's what he normally gets through. But that stuff will never make a highlight reel in the Sunday game. It's not the stuff that people are going to remember. But he had an outstanding year, even up into and including the Clare game. He was still getting through a huge amount of work for Kilkenny. That was another position that was a flip of the coin for me, because I thought Duggan had a really good year. And again, when Duggan first burst onto the scene, it was his skills and everything. I mean, I think about that great point was against Easkettle back in 2018. Like that point in front of Cusick stand. That was kind of, I think, when Duggan came onto the scene, first of all, is what we associated him with. But now it's his high fielding, it's his tackling, it's his intensity, it's his ability to get in the ball. That's really where his game is at. It's hard for me to argue either way. If someone else said Peter Duggan, I go, that's, you know, you could make a fair argument. But for me, just John Donnelly just did enough there to take the position.
Okay, Scale, you've given this away. So obviously your left half forward then is John Donnelly then.
No, Seamus Hannity. Okay. I've moved him around with, okay? The game is so open nowadays. They can play both sides.
See, I thought this was going to be seamless. I thought you were going to go, yeah, no, that's exactly what
I thought. Well, thank you for skipping us forward. We'll leave that one to Murph for the moment. I win John Donnelly the far wing, right? Again, there's appreciation on my behalf for what forwards do. Yes, scoring is also is one of the primary objectives of a forward, right? But nowadays, if you're positioned in the half-forward lane, you have to be able to nearly tackle as good as you can score. You have to be able to nullify what can be a launching pad for teams, which is their half-back line moving out or into the midfield. And John Donnelly did that for me. And I thought he was, again, the principle of these decisions for me is, are you, let's say, I want to use the word exceptional. Are you solid in terms of, and very good throughout the whole course of the year? You know, for all your championship games, whether they be against a small team or a big team or in knockout elements, are you, you know, really, really solid? And John Donnelly was in that bracket. And I think he was critical to Kilkenny's kind of forward line. He doesn't get the same kind of attention that the own Corys and Cheeges would have because of the scoring exploits, which is fair enough. I don't mind that whatsoever. But for me this year, he's moving across the half forward line. His aerial ability in terms of puck outs again. His work rate was exceptional, and he's shooting. You know, I think he really launched himself into a different element this year by showing, I suppose, the public and showing us that he can do kind of, he's all rounded. He can do it all now at this stage. So he was always like a bit part player, but as we were saying at the start of the year, I had huge time for him, you know, as a kind of a cog in a Kilkenny forward line. So I just think he's going to be an even, you know, a vital player for them next year. He's going to probably take on more of a mantle. He did this year, don't get me wrong. He took a step up. But next year, I think he's going to be one of the real fulcrums of that Kilkenny forward line. So John Donnelly is in that half forward line for me.
Okay. So is your 11 then Harnedy, Skell?
See, this is a balls, right? Because... Okay, I don't have Tony Kelly in the Ulster team, all right?
Okay.
Don't shoot me, okay? Don't shoot me. I know he was absolutely exceptional. Gave one of the best finals I've ever seen from a player, which is perfect, right? But just, again, I'm talking about consistency across the whole course of the year. So I have Harnedy in. So my half-forward, basically, in summary, is Duggan, Donnelly, Harnedy, right? So I'm going to get flack for that, because Kelly's final was nearly... I don't want to diminish people's efforts, but it's like a one-man show, the way he pulled Clare over the line, or pushed him over the line, whatever you want to call it, man of the match performance, which is perfect, exceptional. But for the rest of it, I'm like, no, I couldn't. Does it warrant an All-Star? I think it diminishes the value of an All-Star, to be honest. Man of the match, absolutely in the final. But like, you remember back in 12, more from Wally Walsh came in and got man of the match. For me, it's the same thing, putting him in as an All-Star at that time. You know, I just couldn't, like, I just can't. So nomination, absolutely, 100%, but no, I'm putting in Seamus Hannity, who is the folk hero of the Cork forward line, basically. If you look at the reception he gets when he comes on or off, you know, he gets appreciated for the efforts he's put in for all the years. He's been there for hard days and there for good days, and he still produces the good. Again, huge ball winner, huge worker, great scorer, covers all six positions in the day of a game in terms of the forward line. So I just thought his year was exceptional too.
By the way, I don't think you necessarily need absolution for that view where you go, I'm not putting Tony Kelly into the team.
Thank you.
I think Tony Kelly, by his own admission, Murph, you take the point that he had to feel his way into the year because of the injury. He had a quiet semi-final up until the 47 minutes, as we've talked about quite a bit. And even in the final, he comes to life around about that time and then totally stamps his name all over it and has an incredible game and probably wins the game for Clare. It's one of those where 100% you go up as captain and you collect the McCarthy Cup and you're a player of the game in the final, and that's what's always remembered. But if you're to do the body of work for the whole season, I don't think even Tony Kelly could really argue about not getting an Ulster.
No, he wouldn't. I mean, he'd be realistic about it, to be fair to him, like that. He felt his way into the year coming back from injury. And through no other reason, again, it's just getting back to the pitch of the game. And if you were to say at the start of the year to Tony Kelly, listen, you're going to captain, be man of the match and win the All-Ireland with Clare in the final. You're not going to get an All-Star, though. I think he said, that's fine. I've ticked all those boxes. That's okay. It just happens that we're sitting down having the All-Star conversation now. It probably feels like the last important thing to be done of the year. But no, like Tony Kelly, be realistic about that. Like, again, as you rightly said there, Will, from the 47th minute on in the semi-final, that's when we saw Tony Kelly get back to his heights. And that's what Clare needed him to do. But he just came to the party a bit late. That's all it is. And to be fair to the rest of the players, you know, All-Star teams have to be picked on the course of the year. It can't just be picked on one individual performance that would be stand out because it's the final. Like, I mean, what about an individual performance that is a provincial final? You know, just because that's lost in the memory, you know. So basically, it just has to be a case of a few more. If he probably would have needed two more games, I suppose, to get into an All-Star team, or at least a full semi-final and a really good quarter-final, you know, to be considered. So, I know, I'm sure he'd know this himself, that it was just a case that the injury held him back from being part of that team for a little bit longer, and that's the reason behind it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to skip over at all, Murph, here, but who's your other wing forward and your centre-half forward then?
Centre forward, I went for Shane Barrett, and then wing forward, I went Seamus Harnedy. Again, for me, with Barrett, I just thought his consistency again. He always involved in the games. He's a really quick starter for Cork as well, in that he gets involved in the game straight away. Like, he's just involved always straight away, and generally the platform again that brings other Cork players into the game in terms of setting them up. Like, I'm fairly sure he got on the ball to set up Brian Hayes for his goal. Granted, Brian Hayes had a lot to do, but he was constantly involved. I'm even thinking like the semi-final. Was he 3 or 4 points in the semi-final? Like, again, he's a workhorse. He gets on a lot of ball. He terrorizes backs, but is well capable of scoring when he needs to then. Like, gets on the ball, very calm, very collected on the ball. I just think a really balanced player, Shane Barrett. And I think just best year by far this year. I thought he was really good. And then Harnedy, in fairness to Harnedy, what we've probably seen of Harnedy over the last few years is, Harnedy has great intensity, and he can, you know, for 20 minutes he can absolutely light it up. And I think what he does is he pours a huge amount into you know, 20-30 minutes. And like managers would often say to lads, empty yourself, and if you need to come off after 40 minutes, 45 minutes, come off. And Harnedy, sometimes we would have seen do that. But what we actually saw, which is remarkable for a fella in his 30s now, is that he not only came out of traps flying for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, he sustained that, particularly in the semi-final, sustained that right up into 45, 50 minutes. I think it was maybe 55 minutes he was taken off, and was hugely influential through the whole thing. So, in fairness to Seamus Harnedy, I don't know if he has an All-Star even previously. Maybe he has one from 2013, but he really upped his standards again this year in terms of his overall performance. And for me, yeah, Harnedy, well-deserving of an All-Star.
Yeah, I think Barrett definitely gets in. But then the close run scale, because I have a feeling he's not going to get in. Look, I guess he'd a quieter quarter final. Is Lee Chin, was he considered in your half forward line? And Declan Dalton would be the other one that would stand out. But Chin first.
Chin wasn't considered, in fairness. No, I think he got off to a great start in terms of the the round robin and Leinster, but he just kind of, it hit a slope after that, to be fair. I know he scored something ridiculous about an Antrim. I don't have the figures to my mind. And kind of backed it up the final day, but it just petered out, to be honest. And he kind of got overtaken by Rory Connor in the scores and play stakes as the championship went on. Even though O'Connor got sent off, he finished with more from play from. So he had a solid year in terms of performance, but when you're talking about All-Star form, like, you know, you're really putting your head above the parapet here, and you're getting to a level that's ultra consistent against top level opposition. And I don't think he did. So he wasn't in my reckoning for that fall at all, to be fair. Okay. Although I did. I was very, very tight with Harnedy and Shane Barrett, to be fair. Okay. Like, Shane Barrett got 218 from play. Harnedy got 120. So there was a point of separation there. But I just thought Harnedy, overall, what he offered Cork was more. Even though Barrett was excellent. I'm not saying he wasn't. But in terms of Lee Chin, no, didn't come into my thinking. Who's the second you mentioned?
Dalton.
Again, no, didn't come into my thinking at all, to be fair. Because as I'm going down, I don't start from the bottom up, I start from the top down. And I had plenty of names from the top down that I just stopped there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I had sort of like Donnelly, you know, Donnelly, Harnedy, Barrett, Duggan, etc. I was like, okay, now I should pick from these three or from those four. So I didn't go any further. Even though in solid year.
So who is next on the list then?
For wing forward?
For anyone in the half forward line, because you were saying
This is where I got really torn. I was going against my own principles. I was like, do I have to put in Tony Kelly? Like, no, I don't. So Tony Kelly was like down there fifth. And in fairness, I have to give respect to my I had Gareth Hegarty, who I thought again was solid for Limerick in terms of what he produced. So he would have been in, like, he was, again, go back to, I suppose, Munster final stage. He was nearly a shoe-in for wing forward, nearly. But then, I suppose, petered out with the regs of the championship. So, yeah, I wouldn't have Donnelly in my first probably six options. No disrespect to him, again, solid year. Dalton, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I thought you picked him there. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, no, don't seem to mind that much. Sorry, all the D's. I was going to say Dalton. Again, solid year. Great to mention for Cork in terms of the long freeze. Great to have, you know, someone who can go back there and launch one from 100 yards, no problem whatsoever. But anonymous in the final, I have to say, unfortunately.
Yeah. Any other half forwards that you had close, Murph?
Yeah, Peter Duggan, obviously. Pretty much lads we've mentioned already. Like, the only other thing then would be to go back and say that you move Dave Fitzgerald up and maybe slot in another honourable mention for a midfielder or something. But no, for me, those four lads were the four that stood above. Like, again, when I say I thought of Dalton, I acknowledge, right, Dalton, yeah, had a good year, but he wasn't in contention to knock any of those lads off. Again, and just a quiet final, really. Like, that's not to be hardened, but just quite finally knows that himself. He was frustrated coming off the field when he was subbed. But for me, no, look, those three lads and then Peter Duggan, then just that was the lads who were the four mix there for the half forward line.
Okay, so we've an inside forward line here of Shane O'Donnell and two others. So Shane O'Donnell,
no argument.
No, I think so. I mean, yeah. Scale, in fairness, I think look, let's not overlook Shane O'Donnell here, where I'm pretty sure he's going to be hurler of the year.
Yeah, I'd say I'd be absolutely amazed if he wasn't hurler of the year and by a landslide. I think if you go into, I don't know how these conversations go, Will, maybe you can tell me more, but there's probably a body of maybe 15 or 20 personnel that pick the All-Stars and pick hurler of the year, etc. And if it's not unanimous, there's something wrong, I think. So he's at 14 for me on my team. He was, I don't throw the word around, but he was absolutely awesome. Like this year, in everything he did, you know. And then for the story to come out that you mentioned, Will, or the public, the media said that he had torn his hamstring on the week of the final.
Yeah, he was touch and go.
You would not know. You would not know in the effort he put in. And he was just like, it's hard to kind of break down his game to say what does he do well, because he does everything well. He's fielding, touch work, scores, assisting, tackling. Jesus, like there was everything he was doing, movement. He'd say this guy's a Rolls Royce forward, and he was critical. And like he's reached hero status in Clare now, without a shadow of a doubt. Because there was days when Clare didn't reach their peak or reach the heights they wanted, and he was still kind of pulling them forward. So Shane Donnell is a clear and obvious 14 in the Ulster team, and I think he's clear and obvious hurler of the year for me. There was, if you go back to 2021, I remember saying about Keane Lynch, like he was so good, give him the hurler of the year and just give it for next year as well. So Shane O'Donnell was so good, he's the obvious choice for hurler of the year, and I don't think anyone, and respectfully in terms of the decision, will come close to him.
Yeah, it's preempting some of the questions, obviously, with the, you know, the quickfires and your moments of the year and so on and hurler of the year. But are you opposing Shane O'Donnell as hurler of the year, Murph?
No, not, he can't. Yeah, outstanding year. And look, there's nothing more you can say about Shane O'Donnell this year that probably hasn't already been said. He's just outstanding this year. And for such a, I don't know what you call him, a unique player, certainly in his style, he's a unique player. But he's an exciting player. And for a player of his ability and his creative genius to be hurler of the year, it's well deserved. And he just, again, outstanding. Couldn't say any more about him.
Okay, so he's Paul Murphy's 14 as well. Who are your corner forwards, Murph?
I feel one of my corner forwards might be argued a bit. I don't know, though. But anyway, Mark Rogers and Aaron Gillan. I had down as my corner forwards. I know, I saw, let's
which,
say...
Which one, you, which one are you worried about here, if you're saying...
Gallagher. Not say worried, but I was surprised, and I'm not worried, but I was surprised how in many corners when I saw people picking their teams, that Gallagher wasn't even mentioned. Like, even in the semi-final, I think he came away with 11 or 12 points and severed from play. And we mentioned, I think, Scale, you were mentioned there with Shane O'Donnell when... that he was kind of pulling Clare through games, not pulling Clare through games, but at times where they needed him, he was getting about. For me, yeah. Gallagher was doing that this year as well for Limerick, and it was kind of going unnoticed because I think the story with Limerick this year, a lot of people were saying, oh, can they be bet? Can't they be bet? This was always the conversation. But at times when Limerick needed someone, they had Nicky Quay down the far end, and then they had Gallagher up the other end, you know, always involved, always getting scores. And I thought he did a really good semi-final. And that, and particularly that was something that I thought that was overshadowed in the semi-final. It was obviously Cork won. Brian Hayes gets 1-4. There's all these different stories going on. Gallagher had a really good game, and he was so involved. So for me, again, in terms of consistency, and I would even say, look, again, it wasn't the heights that he could hit, maybe more so because the Limerick weren't hitting the heights they could hit. But for me, Gallagher, I think, fully deserves his place in the All-Star team. And then at the other side, look, Mark Rogers, I don't think he really needs an explanation. Again, outstanding year, very versatile player. You know, a player that could dip in and out of the freeze there, depending on, you know, who they wanted or who was on the field at any given stage. But for me, Rogers, he was one of the boys that when you're starting off the team, he's nailed on as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, so they were my two corner forwards.
All right, strap yourself in. Here come the scale curveballs.
Hang on. Have we had the poultry yet? No. Or is there a poultry?
I thought the John Donnelly one for me was a poultry, but then you put him in first, which kind of shocked me.
okay. Go on.
I thought leaving off Tony Kelly was a bit bit of criticism, sure. But it's not, Murph. I won't say you've sided with me. You're seeing logical now, right? No, the corner forwards for me, Mark Rogers. Again, you could just move him aside because that's a shoo-in also. I know we can argue as well, Will, that he featured in different positions, you know, particularly in the 11 position at times, which is fine. But he did feature, you know, plentiful in both areas.
I'm okay with him in an inside forward. It's fine.
Yeah, what I love about him is he's a direct runner. He's a direct runner. There's no loop. He runs this man. As soon as he gets the ball, he's going to turn and attacking your shoulder, heading straight for the goal. As can be epitomised by the goal he scored in the final. So I've no issue putting him in. He's lethal, dangerous. He's another Rolls-Royce forward, if you ask me. And he's a great kind of supporter to the likes of O'Donnell effort. So Rogers is pretty clear for me. I think he rattled 3-14 or something from play for the year, which is no main feat, especially coming up against the opposition he came up against. So, again, Mark Rogers is sound. In the other corner, I put in Brian Hayes. Because again, and I agree with you, Murph, I think Glenn down for 2-8 from play, but Hayes didn't break that marker. But he was also, if you look at what Cork got through this year, what was their main kind of tactical change from years previous? And it was that long ball down to the big man, you know. And I suppose rule number one when you deliver a long puck out is don't let the opposition catch it. It's as simple as that. Don't let them come out of it. And in fairness to Hayes, he was the man that broke everything for them to create opportunities, you know. Irregular opportunities that they mightn't have gotten years previous. So yeah. For me, he's well able to score too. Like we saw him in the semi final, or he's able to produce. Even go back to Munster, and this is a split hair decision. I did think about Glenn. I thought about, in fairness, I was like with McCarthy for terms of freeze. I was thinking about Chin in the corner, you know, in the full forward line. But you know, I just thought Brian Hayes was an important cog in the Cork wheel. And stood up and didn't reach the heights he'd like in the final, but across the whole course of the year, he was a standout for me. So he's in at the 15.
Okay, only three differences between you in the end. That's not bad.
It's quite reasonable, I'd say, for an All-Star team.
Corner forward, centre forward, and wing back. Is it?
Yeah. Sunday game team of the year had no Leinster players, by the way, despite Kilkenny getting to a semi-final. So.
No surprise there.
Well, I don't remember the Sunday game team, but I remember looking at it going. I thought there was automatically a few, not to say bolters in it, but there was already. There's sometimes you can look at the All-Star team, and for so many people there to be looking at it, there's either glaring omissions or people who were put in that you go, oh, I don't know. But anyway, I think the main thing about picking an All-Star team is it's very hard to pick one that suits everybody. You know, people will disagree regardless. So it's a very subjective thing, to be fair. Yeah.
I'll give you their team just so you have it. So they put Tony Kelly into midfield. So Nicky Quaid is in goal. Adam Hogan, Owen Downey, Conor Lean, David McInerney, Robert Downey and Kyle Hayes. Tony Kelly and Dara Fitzgibbon in midfield. They put David Fitzgerald in the half-forward line with Shane Barrett and Seamus Harandy. Mark Rogers, Shane O'Donnell and Brian Hayes was their team.
Them very similar.
Similar enough, yeah. I think a lot of the similar thinking within it as well. And their hurler of the year was Shane O'Donnell. So that's their all-star team. Now, Colin McCarthy was very kind to put the questions in order here. So player of the year, we've all agreed to Shane O'Donnell. So let's not even dwell on that. Young player of the year for you, Paul Murphy.
Adam Hogan. I don't know if anyone comes overly close to him. He really had an outstanding year, particularly again the semi-final against Owen Cody. He had a great game. So yeah, for me, look, Adam Hogan, young hurler of the year.
Skell?
Yeah, 2 for 2. Adam Hogan's the man. Started his year off. I'd heard from people to say over the Garth side about what he was doing over the course of the winter in terms of the effort he's putting in, and a lone effort, if you like, and then to carry that forward into his league campaign, which he started from the right, you know, level and brought with him all the way through to the championship. He was ultra consistent. He's the number one man marker for Clare. So if you've got your best forward in the opposition, Lohan just turns to Hogan and says, take care of him. And more often than not, he did the business. And I said, yeah, he'd one little blip, which we all do, which is the Munster final, put that aside very, very easily, had an extremely solid semi-final, extremely solid final, and was, again, is the standout for me. When we're going through people who can challenge him, no one really gets too close to him, if you like. So he's the more than Shane O'Donnell being a standout hurler of the year. For me, he's a standout young hurler of the year. So it'll be a clear double.
Goal of the year. There's a few, obviously, good ones. Two in the final, Downey and TK. For me, because of what's on the line, Skell, I'm going for Tony Kelly here.
Yeah, the only one that could challenge it for me was Galland's one down in Limerick. I think that was against Tipperary. The one where he caught, turned on the 21 and put it in the top left. That was a savage goal. But for again, I'm getting really, really into the Olympics here, Will, and the degree of difficulty, as they say, right? Whether it be gymnastics or diving, dictates how many points you give it. And what Tony Kelly did in terms of degree of difficulty, having the wherewithal to go do what he did, first of all, to see the opportunity arise, even though there was a few red shirts in front of him, and then to execute it in the manner was awesome. I don't think there's a goal that could challenge that for technical ability, for, you know, just intent as well is the word I'd use for forward. Like, he just said, fuck it, I'm going for this. And so he did. Like, he just went for it, took the bull by the horns and stuck it. And it was a crucial score for Clare at the time. And if you go back through all the goals of the year, so there's been some great goals, but ultimately for what was on the line, the prize at stake, the degree of difficulty, and just the execution of what the, you know, what he offered the public, us, basically, was exceptional. So again, more than what I just said about the two hurlers of the year, that's a clear standout for me.
I think Murphy, Owen Cody goal gets an honourable mention, because it's one of those moments where when it happened you're like, wow, I can't believe he actually thought to do that. But is TK your top goal of the year as well?
That is, yeah. I mean, everything you said there, like, particularly not just the skill involved and how he meandered through, but also what was on the line at the time. Like, it's really remarkable to get a goal like that in the final. For me, the three goals were Tony Kelly's, Owen Cody's and Rob Downey's. The only, it's not the same marks against Rob Downey's, it's just that nobody came to tackle him. I think we've seen Austin Gleeson do something similar like that a few years ago in Munster, but there was a few lads coming at him. But Rob Downey's one was exhilarating to watch. It was brilliant. And, you know, it was such a grenade in the middle of the final to happen so early on, and for your centre-back to come running up like that. I don't think we even consider things like that could happen in an All-Ireland final. But those were the three. And three different types of goals, which is great as well. It's not just the lad catching the ball and hanging a corner forward or top corner. So great goals. But no, Tony Kelly's one, I think, has to be the goal of the year.
Mm-hmm. I'll lean on your experience here, Skell. Save of the year?
No, it was coming, was it? Fuck, you caught me in the soft spot. Oh, shit.
Oh,
I was in the flipping homework, Will.
Well, oh. Carl said this was an extra one beyond the homework.
Save of the year. Jeez, I gotta think. Give me a moment. Murph, you go first. I gotta think about this.
Well, see, I'm trying to think of the ones in the semi-finals, because obviously there was great ones there. And I'm actually thinking Owen Murphy's one against Clare. I'm trying to think who took the shot. it was fairly point blank. At the same time, I think Nicky Quaid got something quite similar as well. Look, to be honest, because it's a quick fire one there, well, I'm going to go with Owen Murphy's one in the semi-final.
Okay, I think, and this is really hurting Skell, I know as well, because he's trying to think this out. Like, Collins makes two unbelievable saves in the semi-finals too.
Yeah, true. Jesus Christ. Do you know what? Fake. Now I'm caught. This is very honest piece we're having here, considering the question was just landed down. Did you actually put that in, Will? No, you didn't.
No.
You didn't. Good man.
No, because the question came in overnight from Colin McCarthy, who sent me a list of 8 bullet points.
You didn't send it to us, though.
No, I didn't.
Right. Patrick Collins, the one. Are you thinking the one where he comes out against Galan, takes it in the armpit? That one.
He makes a fine reflex save in the second half as well.
Yeah, we talk about what's on the line. Yeah. That's a huge one. But I suppose I'm more towards the ability or the technical ability or the difficulty. Sean Brennan comes to my head too.
In the quarterfinal,
the one versus Cork, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great save.
Yeah,
that was a humdinger of a save. He comes to my head. Nicky made numerous ones. Jeez, that's a hard question. We have to come back to that one, lads.
Right, okay, fair enough. Moment of the year in hurling. What was the moment of the year? For me, Offaly 20s winning the All-Ireland, but go on.
For me, so there was actually loads to pick from, in fairness. There was loads of different options. I'm just thinking, what gave me the most personally excitement? And I have to say it was the penalty, down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Patrick Horgan. That kind of 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Now, I know the moment is one particular instance, but that last minute I thought was super exciting. The final as a whole was super exciting, but for me, Horgan, the anticipation, the foul, the penalty, what's on the line, the could have exited the championship, home crowd, kind of it was like a rebirth of Cork as a hurling unit, if you like. How rapturous the crowd were, the pitch invasion, all that kind of, I suppose, in number of incidents was class to watch and extremely exciting for a neutral and for a hurling fan. So I'm going to go Horgan that last minute.
Right, instant out for you, Murph?
Yeah, I second that one. As a child enters Skell's room.
We
were warned about this. I got to meet Skell's good wife during the week, and she said, I guarantee our second eldest will storm in at some point if you try and do a podcast in the morning. So
yeah, as we were planning it, Grace did say, but what about if the children come in? And in fairness, she called it. She called it early.
Part of the pod all year, so.
I'll second Skell's vote there for Patrick Horgan, but in the interest of giving something different as well, something that can't be categorised into anything else that was really good. I think at the final, both Jarlett Burns' speech and Shane O'Donnell, or not Shane O'Donnell, Tony Kelly's, let's say, you know, in Clare, hurling is religion and Brian Lowen is their God. Like, those things can't get captured into anything else. I kind of an honourable mention in terms of moment of the year, Jarlett Burns, is both his speeches, I think, for the handing over the cup in the football and the hurling finals, thought were really good. I think they're just, you know, it's kind of, obviously he wrote it, but you almost say he couldn't write it. Like, he seems to be quite an emotional person who just kind of in the moment takes from what has happened in the game and gives a great speech. But that whole moment there of, you know, I'm thinking back, Brian Lowen, you go back as far as being beaten in Antrim there a few years ago, and he played John Connell in the first match, centre-back, and people are going, no, we need to get rid of Lowen, and so on. And to have that moment then on the steps of the Hogan Stand where Jarlett Burns gives a great speech and then Tony Kelly says, you know, hurling in Clare, hurling's a religion, and Brian Lowen's our God. I just think that was huge. That 5 minutes there, I just thought was a great moment. So, yeah, I'll throw that one out there as something else.
Yeah, fair enough. Again, for me, Offaly 20s winning the All-Ireland. Moment of the year on the podcast. Ooh, I think this might well be Taylor Swift's anger from Murph.
Do I get that?
It's definitely a contender. Now, I think this is one for the listeners to decide. And by all means, you can stick it in the comments or send us a tweet. There's been a few good ones this year. Definitely some of the farming rants were good as well. Well, not rants, but Skell defending his farming conversations were very good.
Yeah. I just go sometimes at what gets me the most flack. or what stokes the fire.
I'd rather eat cow shit then. It's definitely up there.
That stokes the fire. Like, well, you know, which is just a kind of, I thought it was quite a unassuming comment when it came out of my mouth.
there were strong talks of t-shirts being made after that comment, but it was a very it was a big moment.
I hear you're going selling merchandise with that one. What?
yeah merchandise.
Was that the moment of the year? No, it's not the moment of the year for me. That's kind of a semi-negative.
It's a blur at the moment.
It is a blur at the moment. I don't remember this question being asked to me either.
There's a niceness about the whole, a genuineness about being asked on the spot.
Yeah, Taylor Swift the bitch was funny.
The pint glass, was that this year or was that last year?
The pint glass was this year.
Was it?
Because it almost went there again.
Sure. Yeah, that was amazing.
Great moment.
Sorry about the language, man.
The acoustics of that was brilliant, yeah. Class.
Sorry, I'm changing mine. The pint glass is actually by far. Especially because it got memed afterwards with the puck out from Davy Fitz hitting the glass and stuff as well.
Yeah.
It took its own life.
It did. Yeah, pint glass.
This one is purely for you, Murph. So this is a double from Kieran McCarthy, who you might recall came to the roadshow on Dolan's and brought us the biscuits. So it's a biscuits-based question.
Yeah.
You walk into the BBC studios or OTB or a commentary box and they have a plate of biscuits laid on for you. Chocolate Kimberley's, Club Milk. Which are you tackling first?
Chocolate Kimberley's or Club Milk? Oh,
do we have a cup of tea or not?
No, you can have a cup of tea, yeah.
Right.
Oh, Chocolate Kimberley's or Club Milk? Club Milk. I like Club Milks.
Traditional scale, what would you pick?
I'm tackling the same thing, yeah.
All right.
But I'm very slow eating them. I pick up all the chocolate on the side.
I didn't think you were nibbling on that.
Then I divide it in half and then I nibble on it.
The first time
you eat a Kit Kat?
No, I haven't actually. Did I ever see you eating a Kit Kat?
I'm brutal, yeah.
Take all the chocolate off the edge of the finger? You do?
Peel off every one, lay them down, and then I just start picking off the chocolate. You know the little edges in the bottom? I start picking off all that for reasons I'm not sure. Childhood habit, I'm sorry. And even I have hula hoops, I should have put them on my fingers.
Fair enough. I wouldn't put you in the position of Kieran's second question. Paul, who's better crack, the BBC lads or the hurling pod?
It's a horrible position to put me in, lads. I can't place it. Yeah. And then when I'm on the BBC, I say there.
I hate those hurling pod lads.
That's like, you might as well just ask the question, who do you like more? Do you like
Will first child or my second child?
As people, do you like Will and Skellen more? Do you like Neil McMahon as a Seamus Flanagan? Neil McMahon and Seamus Flanagan, horrible people. Don't like them at all. They're terrible.
You got Flanagan at a live pod as well. So look, he kind of crisscrosses across both.
There's overlap there in Flanagan, yeah. Who's more?
Okay, time is against us. So I will ask another couple of ones here because this one's interesting from Rebels of Boo. What would James and Murph think they'd be good at the Olympics? What do you think you'd be good at?
So Grace and I spoke about this last night, and I think the certainly nothing on the track, nothing on the track, but right. the field stuff, yes, the likes of discus, javelin, which I used to do before in school, shot put, hammer, never did the hammer, but those kind of items, yeah.
I think you'd be a good hammer thrower. You kind of remind me of a fella like, do you know the way, like the shot put lads, they tend to be kind of Keane Healy type, you know.
Huge fuckers, yeah.
Strong, yeah. Javelin boys, they also tend to be kind of, they're still a kind of a, what would you call it, like 800 meter runner in them boys. Like, you know, they're whatever. Whereas the hammer throwers tend to be quite, they look more like hurlers than anyone else. So I'd say a hammer thrower.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Swimming close after that then.
That you would, are you a good swimmer?
Yeah.
Oh, fair.
In terms of, when I say good swimmer, hey, fuck's sake, I'm not Olympic standard.
You're not taking on Daniel Whiffen just yet.
No way.
What would I be good in? Jesus Christ. Yeah, like, I mean, I probably, I'm not an endurance athlete. I'm not anything like that. I would say probably sprinting would be the closest thing that I'd be good at. So you probably have to say 100 metre or 200 metre. I don't even know what I'd like to be good at. That's the other side of it, because you know I see so many of these things and they all look like great sports. I know how to be good to, what to be translatable to your day to day life.
I thought you, as in the occupation you have, I said that man would be a good rower.
There's a shooting competition, you know. A rower. Where did you?
Yeah, I thought
rower?
You would. Yeah,
not in the navy.
But endurance, difficult, like. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
Bit of a dog in you.
Pullock a dog, yeah.
I thought Chizzy maybe so. On their own.
I think, by the way, if you do, if you go shooting, you have to be the Turkish guy who decided to come out like a hitman. So I didn't know a huge amount about that until I saw him getting memed. Most people, like, you know, they wear these kind of fancy lenses and they've got all these things to be 100% accurate. This guy just came out in what looked like his normal reading glasses and he just decided to hold a gun like a hitman and shoot away.
And hands in the pocket for one of them as well. yeah, because they were saying that he came second. They were like, here, don't blow your cover, come second, you can't take it. And there's also one saying that he's better when the target's alive.
Jesus.
Yeah. He's a sensation now, like, he's in his social medias after exploding altogether now, because obviously he's just this...
The French cold vulture.
Well, he looks... Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. But yeah. No, look, to be fair, I'd say, what would I... The thing that I think I might have a best stab at is 100 metres, but I go, look, Jesus, I don't think I have that in me now.
Yeah, I couldn't picture it. I couldn't picture you more fat old dressage.
No, wouldn't be good.
Which, can I say, is a load of shite as a sport. I mean, a horse dancing, will you fuck off? I mean, seriously.
I can't believe we end up here. How is a horse dancing any worse than ice skaters dancing or some of the other events that take place?
Well, like, first of all, the human...
You'd watch Simone Biles and you wouldn't complain, but you're going to complain about the horsey.
Hold on. Whoa. Okay.
Did you say horsey?
Yes.
Yeah. You just compared Simone Biles to a horse dancing.
Right. Yeah. Simone Biles doing a triple backflip off a horse and a different kind of horse, a stationary
horse. She just moves so fast, I don't even know which way she's twisting. Right? And now you're comparing to... Look at... I'm not going to warrant a response to that question, right? You're trying to get a reaction over here now.
Yes, I was.
No.
If I may say, I think the most impressive lads, I think the most fearless people are the pole vaulters. Like 6 meters and you're upside down. And then, like, if you jab that in wrong, it sends you back the other direction. No, I haven't seen anyone do that, but like...
Well, the Great Britain, one of the Great Britain athletes, she went up and then nearly hit the camera.
Yeah, saw that.
Look, your man, the Swedish fella's going up. Jesus. Upside down, Marcus, you're right, yeah.
6 meters, like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I think they're incredible.
Yeah. Or if your penis hits the bar on the way down, you're going to get memed for probably the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's great, though, isn't it?
What did they say? What did they say? Lots of competition, won at life, isn't that it?
Right. There's one last question before we finish up the last regular part of the year. And that's the old classic. Who's getting out of Munster next year? Which we got twice.
Jesus.
Oh, I hate this question.
Remind me to screenshot both of you going back simultaneously into the same position there, but go on.
Do you know what? I think this is actually a fairer question when you find out who's eventually managing Watford, because I think, like, for me, I think it's going to be, at the moment, Limerick, Clare, Cork. But I do think that situation changes. Like, if I heard, for example, Derek McGrath was in Watford, I'd be going, Jesus, right.
Now I have
What? Oh, Big Talk Darren Gleeson. Jesus, right, yeah. Like, see, this is the thing. Until I'd see a Watford manager, I find it hard to think what way Watford are going to go. I think Tipperary are just in a kind of a phase where they're at maybe a 2 or 3 year period here now, like including the year just gone, where they're resetting and getting back out. And I expect to hear 1 or 2 retirements out of there as well. So it's probably early to hear that one yet. But at the moment, I mean, you have to say the 3 that came out this year again. But I will give an honourable mention that once I hear who's managing Watford, Watford have a panel there to get out of it. They do have a panel. And like that does mean causing an upset to another team. And if I was to call who the upset to the other team would be, I would say possibly Cork at this stage. So that's where I am at the moment. I'll say the 3 that I said last year as well, Clare, Cork and Limerick.
We're staying popular in Tipperary here, Scal. Go on.
Well, with the information we have at the moment, which the key point is Murphy's noted, it's very hard to debate otherwise. Because if you're saying, right, it's definitely going to be Tipperary, you're saying that in hope as opposed to expectation. So we're going off again. We're going off what we've seen over the last couple of months. And, you know, Limerick are still, they're by no means gone. There might be perception across the public that, oh, they're finished. They are certainly not finished. Now they're a wounded dog. So they're coming back to bite again. Clare as Ireland champions would be well deserved in their legs in Munster, as it, I think, will Cork. I just can't see it at the moment, right now, with info we have, anything to say otherwise. And I think if you're a member of the public, whether you're neutral or even from the counties that we didn't pick, it's unfair to say, oh, Watford definitely get down, Tipperary definitely get out. There's no evidence to say that just yet.
I think my choices are Limerick favourites for the All-Ireland next year. I think they're definitely coming out of Munster. Clare and Cork, the two All-Ireland finalists from this year. And come at us. Call us the three fucking nobodies if you want. I think they're...
That's your problem.
That was one of the moments of the year as well, by the way.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Okay, that's our loss. I'm going to hold over some of the other questions. We will get to them at some point. And also, I have a feeling there's going to be a managerial appointment in the next 24 to 48 hours, potentially. So, who knows? Maybe that's something that we can
come
back to and have a look. Definitely North. I think there's one that's very, very close.
Yep.
And I think Skell's going to be happy that a manager he doesn't want is going as far physically as possible away from him.
Yeah, so for the reasons they left the position of one job, they're doing it even worse in the next job. It's even harder. So, that'll come to light.
Exactly. Clare Tantrum's not the worst trip of all time. So, there you go. That might just give it away. Davy Fitzgerald, very, very, very heavily linked with the Antrim job at the moment. And Galway could well have an appointment in the next week or two as well. So, we shall see what happens there. By the way, the other pod that I alluded to, we will be going to Clare in a few weeks' time. And we'll be talking to two of their All-Ireland winners. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's part of our BGE series. We already met Paul Murphy and Tommy Welsh and a few others along the way. Nigel Erica as one of our other interviews. I think Claire is next on the agenda, probably in a few weeks' time. So we'll let James Gale become a dad again. We'll let Paul Murphy go off and go to work for today. We'll speak to you all soon. Paul Murphy, thanking you.
Thanks very much, lads.
James Gale, thanks a lot.
Love the year. Thanks, lads.
And the Hurling Pod is brought to you by Borgosh Energy. They are the proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship.
OTB's The Hurling Pod
with Borgosh Energy.
Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.